We're about to continue with a number of the dinim of Bora, of Merakit, of Tash, that appear in Siman Shi'ur Tes. It's just worth noticing, it stands out more in the tour than in the Shulchan Aruch. It's just worth noticing something intriguing about the Seder HaDvarim in Siman Shi'ur Tes. And this is by far not the only place you'll find this, within a Siman, or even over the course of many Simanim, that the tour often is following Seder HaGemara. And the Torah often will arrange dinim, not necessarily topically, as much as how they appear in Shas. That's sometimes true sort of on a larger level, like which simanim come earlier, which simanim come later. All of Yeridei Chelek Aleph is more or less in the order of Maseches Chulin, Shechita and Trefus and Minim Ksheirim and so on and so forth, all the way through Basu B'chalav and Tarovis. And then the beginning of Yeridei Chelek Beis is, takes you through dinim of Kashrus that don't appear in Maseches Chulin, dinim of Kashrus that appear in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's true sort of on the macro level. And it's true here on the micro level, just worth noticing, the Siman Shi'ur Tes, especially, again, it's clearer in the tour than the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shi'ur Tes is more or less organized, you know, Al Seder Masechah Shabbos. Now, the dinim that belong in Shi'ur Tes, so first half of the dinim will come from Ayin Gimel Ayin Dalet. And then we sort of work our way through and sort of work our way through to Kuf Lamed Ches and Kuf Lamed Tes. Karshinim appear a little bit early, but it's more or less in order. And that's why, for instance, you have a din that appears later in the Siman that really has to do with the core dinim of Borer. Seif Yud Dalad is about how you pour, if you have liquid with sediment, one of the ways, we'll come back to this, one of the ways to separate the liquid, the drinkable liquid from the sediment is to pour it gently. And that's based on Gemara Bava Kuf Lamed Tes on base. You pour it gently, and the sediment is, if you pour it gently, the sediment is already settled to the bottom, and if you're pouring it gently, the sediment isn't coming up. And then, before you get to the point, you have to stop pouring before you get to the point where the very bottom where the liquid and the sediment is mixed together. Why is that? So Al Pi Pashtus, that's Rashi explains, the base of the Gemara at the bottom, the Beir of Papa, Shafu Shechar, the pour of the Shechar, the Gemara says, why isn't the problem Bora? And the Gemara says, nah, they don't care about the Nitzotzos. I mean, they don't care about the little drips. So Rashi explains, not that it's not Chashev, it means that they were able to afford leaving the last couple of drops of beer at the bottom, leave it in the bottom of the barrel, leave it in the bottom of the mug, and you leave that down below. So you're never separating liquid from solid. In other words, this l'chora, this is Rashi Baum Kuf Lamed Tes, Shulchan Aruch Sif Yudalad, but l'chora is a makar for what we discussed in our earlier chabura. This is a makar for one of the solutions how you deal with Ochum Tov Psolas, is if you take, if you're borer psolas together with some ochel, then it's mutter. You see, Achronim talk about that, with how you take out the, spooning out the bug from the drink, and maybe spooning out the tea bag together with some tea, taking the psolas together with some ochel. The mucker is likely this Rashi in the bottom of Kuf Lamed Tes and Beis. Sif Yudalad, why is it at the end of the Siman? Why isn't it at the beginning? It's number one, the end of the Siman is largely about the discussion of liquids, but also because it's in the Kuf Lamed Tes. So it appears at the end, Al HaSeder. So it is worth, as we're heading into Chazara, so something that will, as it's often the case when you Chazar that you're able to see some of the bigger picture more. When you first learn, it's Kovetz Al Yad, learn piece by piece, and then as we saw earlier in the semester also, you stand back, take a step back to Chazar, you begin to see the bigger picture, also. It is worth noticing that organizational makuda. And now we will continue to work Al HaSeder. I don't want to get deeply involved in the sugya of Termusin. This is still in the Ayin Dalet part of the Siman. As you saw, there are a lot of discussion, a lot of different ways of reading a complicated Gemara. It begins with Girsa issues, the fact that Shalak, Shin Lamed Kuf, means to cook, and shin kuf lamed, shakal, means in Aramaic to take, so that makes for a lot of gersological confusion. and a number of the Shitas Rishonim flow from which Girsa you have. And that word, one or the other, keeps appearing in that sugya. But I don't want to get deeply involved in it. I do want to make one ha'ara that brings us back to where we left off in the last Chabura. And that is in terms of the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam is of the opinion that's what's quoted in that appears to be quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam is of the opinion, Perek Ches, Lachi Gimel, that the bar turmusa to pull again. You're cooking these lupines, whatever turmusim are. These fruits need to be cooked many times. So if you're going to pull them out of the peels of psoles, it's problematic. Why? It's the way the Rambam presents the Gemara. If you keep cooking the termusim with the woody parts of the fruit, you're ultimately not going to eat the psoles, but you need to keep cooking the termusim several more times with the psoles in order for the ochel to become tasty. So since when you're shalki, the Gir says HaRambam, since when you're shalki again and again, the ilo shalki, not shaki, ilo shalki le misrach, you don't keep cooking it with the psoles, the fruit itself will become, remain inedible and unusable. So memela, it's psoles mitoch ochel. So the logic is a little hard to understand. Why is that psoles mitoch ochel? All of a sudden the fruit is not yet edible, and therefore it's psoles vis-a-vis the actual psoles. The actual woody parts, they are ochel. How's the Rambam understand it? Because that's the Gemara. Psoles mitoch ochel, David. But how do you understand that? The Gemara says Rambam is that every time the Gemara uses that word, it's shin lamed kuf, not shin kuf lamed. Shalkele shiva zimi, you're cooking it. You have to cook it many times. You'll shalkele. If you're not going to keep cooking it, it's gonna go bad. And therefore what? And therefore why is that usher? So it could be that this Iser in the Rambam is aligned with the Heterion that we spoke about last time. Last time we mentioned that the Rambam appears to be of the opinion, and this is the kula of the Rambam, when you deal with Shnei Mine Ochlim, we don't care which is which. Unlike Tosfos, who said, even when you deal with Shnei Mine Ochlim, we will define, I have the cashews and almonds, they're both great. Right now I want cashews, so right now, Tosfos says, the cashews are Ochel and the almonds are Psoles. The Rambam, as we noted, seems to disagree. Rambam says, Shnei Mine Ochlim, just make sure that you have the other two conditions. Just make sure that you're doing it biyad, not the kli, and it's the altar. And then it's fine. Rambam seems to understand if they're both ochlin, then they're both ochlin. Then there is no psolus. In other words, the Rambam is of the opinion that ochel and psolus are defined in absolute terms, not relative to one another. It's not so. Unlike Tosfos, this is no. Whenever you're differentiating one from the other, we have to figure out which is ochel compared to the other, which is psolus compared to the other. The Rambam sees them as being absolute. So usually, it's a kula, because usually it means that if you're being memayin, to use the modern term, miun, that the Shmir Shabbos and others you'll see use, when you're selecting, you're sorting out one ochel from another ochel, the Rambam says it doesn't matter which you pull from which, but here it leads to an Easter. Here it leads to a humra, because it could be what the Rambam is saying is right now this is psolus. Right now, this is psolus. Even though it's going to be ochel in the future, but since right now the fruit is not yet edible, even though that's the part that you want, isn't enough. Could be yesh la'ayin. I gotta think about that some more. But it could be this is another expression of that Shitas HaRambam. Okay, but the turmusim does not, you don't eat turmusim that often. We do eat nuts. And we should turn our attention to the discussion of the kitnias. Molel and melilos. What do you do with the molel and melilos? So the kuf chav ches. in Kuf Chaf Ches, we assume that you can take the kidneys out of their container. You can immolate malilos if you do it in small amounts with the shinoi. If you do it with the shinoi, b'roshei etzba osav, and that's what's quoted here in Sifav. You're doing it to eat right away, so we're not concerned. That's the machlokas where you showed them how you put together beitz yud beis with the Gemara in Perek Mefan and Kuf Chaf Ches. Now the question is, Rama says we are machmir, but. We are machmer. We would not allow you to do dash even al yedei shinoi. That's a simple reading of the Mishnah and Beitza, that we do not allow molim melilos at all on a Shabbos. He entered with what to discuss, and that's the position Ramah seems to embrace. And that's why he talks about not taking the nuts of klipasan hayiruka. Not taking of klipasan hayiruka. And the Mishnah Brewer starts telling you that the nuts have two different klipas. You want to take out of one, you don't take out of the other. The klipa yiruka, the klipa kasha. What is going on? And how does this relate to us? Lema'asa. Because again, there is a malach of dash, and dash is to remove an ochel from its natural encasement, which is whether you're taking the kernel out of the husk or you're removing the peanut, you would think, from its shell. Or, as Egle Tal points out at the beginning of the Malach of Dash, it's not just an encasement. It can even be something, if it grows, you have an ochel that grows with psolas attached to it, even if it's not encased within, to remove it from its stalk should be usher as well. So the question is, so how do we eat nuts? And the question is, how do we pull grapes off of the stem? Isn't that a violation of Malacha D'Oraisa of Dash? So you got to think about Borer, if you're removing the grapes from the stem. But that you'll, even if there's a problem with Borer, that you'll solve pretty simply, certainly if you're removing the grapes right before you eat, because you're doing a biyad, you're pulling off the ochel from the psolas, and it's Lialter. But how about the Malacha of Dash? How about the Malacha of Dash? What happens to the Malacha of Dash? So the core of this, no pun intended, really relates to this point that the Ramare begins to make about thinking about the different klipos. What's with these different klipos? You can't take the nuts out of the greenish or yellowish klipa, the klipa yiruka, but the hard klipa you can. So it gets a little confusing until you realize that the klipa yiruka, if you ever come across an almond tree, you're perhaps more likely to do on a hike in Eretz Yisrael than on a hike in this area, they don't really look very almondish. There's like these larger, fuzzy-looking, soft-looking fruit, almost. Doesn't look anything like an almond. Until you realize you got to take off that outside, and then you get to the shell and the nut within. The klipa yiruka is outside of the klipa kasha. The klipa kasha is inside. And a number of achronim point out, it's Rav Moshe Feinstein writes this at the beginning, very beginning of Simen Kuf Chaf Hei. This is Or Chaim Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Chaf Hei. Most of that Simen is dedicated to washing fruit, and we'll get there soon. But he begins by briefly talking about how you handle nuts. And he makes a point briefly, that the Shmir Shabbos expands upon in Ha'ara Tzadi Beis, I believe it is. And the truth is, Eglei Tal already starts to make this point near the beginning of the Malacha of Dash. They say that there's the reason why you cannot remove the outer Klipa Yeruka, but you can remove the inner Klipa Kasha, is because the outer Klipa Yeruka is something that you typically remove on the farm. The inner Klipa Kasha is something that you remove at home, often at the dining room table. In other words, you serve peanuts often in shells. Sometimes you serve walnuts in their shells. Certainly they're brought home in their shells. You buy them as an end user, you buy them as a consumer in their shells. That's not something that's done basade or bagoren. That's not something, that's not farm work, that's homework. I don't mean homework, but I mean home work. Dash, and what these achronim develop, you may have come across this in I noticed that Rav Rimon draws together these threads in a very elegant way. But the core of what he says already appears in these earlier achronim. The definition of dash is that which happens in the field. Ramon is very dramatic about it. He says the earliest Sidur the Pas, the earlier Malachas Sidur the Pas happened in the field. The later Malachas of Sidur the Pas happen at home. The question is, where do you draw the line? And the answer seems to be Dash is still part of the earlier set. Dash is still part of the field work, the farm work set. And the Eglei Tal points out it has to be true. He says, how do I know that you're allowed to remove a nut from its shell on Shabbos? How do I know that's not a malach of dash? That's in Eglei Tal. It's in here. It's Ha'ara Gimel Os Beit. His Ha'aras are so long, Kedakush L'Avinezer, that his individual Ha'aras have numbered paragraphs. So it's in Malachas Dash Ha'ara Gimel Os Beit. He points out, fascinating. He says his raya, he has a raya from a non-malacha part of the Masechta. He says, you look at Kuf Chaf Beis, Amid Beis, the very beginning of the 17th parak, which is one of the parak that deals with the halachas of Tiltul B'Shabbos, specifically about Kalisha Malachto Li'isa. So the Mishnah says, the opening Mishnah in Parak Kol HaKelim, it talks about, among other things, that you're allowed to you take a kli shemalachto liiser letzorach gufo. Right, the classic every elementary school rebbe tells you about, you know, taking the sledgehammer to crack open the coconut. Who ever cracks open a coconut? Not sure. I have never had the schus to crack open a coconut. But that's a more dramatic, elaboration on what the Mishnah actually says, which is no toldum kurnus lefatzebo segozim. You're taking this kli, a martel, I believe is a hammer, to crack open walnuts. So Avnezer says, one second, cracking open walnuts, isn't that dash? Obviously it's not. It's a Beferish HaMishnah, just not in the Malacha Prakim. It's one of the Tiltul Prakim. But the Beferish HaMishnah, you're allowed to crack open walnuts and Shabbos. So this is not just a Hamtzah of the Achronim. This is Mamish HaMishnah. So what's the chiluk? So Eglei Tal says, and the Rav Moshe says at the beginning of Siman Kuf Chaf Hei, and the Shmir Shabbos picks up on this and expands on it further, as does Rav Rimon, that this is not called dash because this is something that happens in your house. You're not taking the kurnos to the field. Disha, threshing wheat, getting the wheat out of the husk, that's something that happens on the farm. You don't sell wheat to end users still in the husk. But the way it's sold to end users, from that point on, it's not a disha problem. Okay. And the Eglei Tal points out that's also why there's no disha problem to remove grapes from the stems, because that's how they're sold. Tomatoes on the vine, l'chor, should be the same thing as well. So that's the that's the Pashtus, and that's why it's important to understand that the Handel, according to the approach of these Achronim, whom I believe we Paskin like, the whole discussion about Molel and Malilos is going to come up relatively rarely. I once did have a Molin Malilo Shaila a couple of years ago. We were upstate for Shabbos. I have a very good friend who has a wide variety of interests, one of which is foraging. Foraging is when you go find, unlike harvesting, which is picking plants that were cultivated, that were farmed, foraging is finding wild edible plants. I don't know if it was foraging or harvesting. I'm not sure which one it was. And we ended up with fava beans. Ended up with broad beans. And they come, that's normally when you buy fava, when you buy beans, they're already out of the husk. So at that point, you already have to start thinking about, you know, the sugya of Molin Malila. Do you have the right? And that's the machlokas that the Machaber Amar having. Do you have the right to take a small amount on Shabbos, to take out small amounts with a shinoi or not? But 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, if you're at home, certainly dealing with fruits and vegetables that you bought in a store, so almost by definition, whatever you have, whatever connections are left between Ochel and Psoles, if you're buying it in the store, are connections which according to the Egelei Tal and Rav Moshe Feinstein, are not relevant to Dash. Because unlike Borer, Merake, Dash is really a farm-based melacha. Yeah, now again, not to overstate the point, Dash is a farm-based melacha in terms of the Av, but in terms of Schita, which we're not dealing with right now, but in terms of juicing fruit, there we assume that there is a concern of Dash, whether Minatar Mijabanan, even though you do often bring fruit. Oh, yeah.
How do you still avoid, like, Borer by, let's say, pistachios or peanuts? Because they're kind of...
Yeah, if you're eating pistachios, how do you avoid borer? So al pi pashtus, so that's what the Ramah talks about. Right. So kolzman, it's inside, you're cracking open. That's like being colic. But then once, if you have a mass of, so let's say if you have a cup of pistachios, and sometimes there'll be some pistachios that are already floating around in the bag out of their shell, and there'll be some empty shells that you clearly have no pistachio inside. So in a hanami, you could pick out the green pistachios, and you should dafka not pull out the empty shells. That would solve tochocho. So it also says you have to think about the mukza, and it's often easier to throw the pits into, or the shells into the garbage. If you want to throw it somewhere, it'll be easy to dump them out. Yeah.
You just assume like when I said anything we buy in the store is already at the
out. Like, you're not gonna have a dash problem. Again, unless you decide to go foraging. Or if you have a vegetable garden in your backyard. If you're growing beans in your backyard, then already you do have to make sure to do the disha before to be molim malilos before Shabbos. And then moving on, you have this Mishnah Kuf Mem, which interestingly actually is a little bit out of order here. Before you get to the sugis of Kuf Lamed Ches and Kuf Lamed Tes, you have in Siv Ches the Mishnah about the Karshinim. The insurance at Karshinim, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, you can't soak the vetches. The Ramah even tells you, or whoever it is who's writing the parentheses, parenthetical notes, quote the Aruch, that it's Vitzah. The Aruch is, just to know who the Aruch is a contemporary of Rashi and the Rif. They all lived in the 1000s, the 11th century. They lived in three different parts of the Mediterranean. All were engaged in creating different tools to solve the same problem, which is to make Gemara more readable and learnable. Rashi wrote a Perush. The Rif wrote an abridged version of the Halacha, the Piskei, or the Hilchos HaRif, and the Aruch, Rabbeinu Nosson, the Rashi lived in France and Germany, the Rif lived in Spain and North Africa, in Morocco and Fez, and the Aruch lived in Italy. Rabbeinu Nosson, Baal HaAruch, wrote a dictionary. It's called the Aruch. There are different Aruchim, there are different entries, and it's arranged alphabetically. That's why they quote that this is the Aruch in Erech Karshan, Kaf Resh Nun. It's alphabetical. So if you look up Karshinim in the Aruch, you'll find out what they are. You'll find that they are vetches. What are vetches? It's actually important to know what vetches are. Then I actually took a look at I went online to take a look at some pictures of cow vetches. It's important to know what they are because Shulchan Aruch says, according to the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem, you're not allowed to wash vetches if you have dirty vetch. Vetch, karshinim are animal food. They're a type of kidneys. They're a type of legume. And they're not edible for humans, but they are edible for animals. So the Mishnah says, ein sholos ha-karshinim. You shouldn't wash the karshinim. Rashi explains, you can put them into a container of water to be borer psoltan. Rashi already sends you to Mishnah in Maseches Beitza, Daf Yudalid Amid Beis. So Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mishnah, you can't do this. Quotes the Mishnah, quotes Rashi, it's borer. The question is, does that mean that you can't wash fruits and vegetables on Shabbos? That's what it sounds like. That's what the Mishnah said. Can't wash the fruits, you can't wash the karshinim. So the truth is, the Mishnah Berurah sounds like it. You know, take a look in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, that's why you shouldn't wash potatoes. You shouldn't wash potatoes. And sif katan chaf tes. Karshinim, he tells you, is machal behema. Who didn't tapuchi adama? V'chol taiga avne, if you have potatoes, human food, well, eat it lay in mind. V'chol hasra avak v'offer my lame. Sounds like you shouldn't wash off the dirt that's on the potatoes. Potatoes grow in the ground, so they're going to be full of soil. We are elegant Americans who are pampered. And we go buy potatoes in the store, they've already been rinsed off and dried. But if you're living closer to the ground, potatoes come out of the ground, obviously with clods of dirt on them. So that's why Mishnah Berurah wasn't so worried about what might be on your apples, but he was very worried about your potatoes are going to be full of soil. He says, Mishnah Berurah said you shouldn't wash off your potatoes on Shabbos. Make sure to wash your potatoes before Shabbos. It's a problem of boer. The way that Rav Moshe writes in that tshuva, Simon Kuf, and this is Archaim Chelek Alf. This is the very first volume of Igros Moshe. Just a bibliographical note, the way Igros Moshe is published, it's important to know, it's easier to find things. They published them in volumes. I think there were seven volumes, if I remember correctly, they were published during the lifetime of Moshe Feinstein. I think seven. And then volumes Ches and Tes were published posthumously. And they're later tshuvas. The way it works, In most tshuvas farm, tshuvas are arranged al seder shulchan aruch, and often you'll have a volume for Archaim, a volume for Yerideya, a volume for Evan Ezra, Chosh Mishpat, and so forth. So if Moshe Feinstein kept publishing more and more, sometimes he'll publish, you know, let's say the Chelak Aleph, I believe, is just tshuvas and Archaim. Then he has some other, you know, and some of the volumes are a collection. So let's say you have volume Aleph is Archaim Chelak Aleph. Later on, there'll be a volume that might have Archaim Chelak Beis and Yerideya Chelak Aleph, because that volume he did some of both. And so forth. So this is Archaim Chelek Aleph. Simen Kuf Chaf. Archaim Chelek Aleph is also volume Aleph. There's Simen Kuf Chaf Hey. Kuf Chaf Dalid is where he discusses the heter we spoke about last week about using forks and knives. If it's just Yad Arichta, it's not considered to be a kli. He has a raya from the fact that you can peel the Ramah by peeling the onions and garlic. He says you're not doing it with your fingers, you obviously do it with a knife, and yet that's not considered to be bar b'kli. Okay. And then, as we mentioned before, a couple minutes ago, the beginning of Simen Kuf Chaf Hei is the yisod about there's no dash on the shells that are brought home. But the bulk of Kuf Chaf Hei is about this question of rinsing fruits and vegetables. So Moshe Feinstein says that the minhag olam is not to follow the Mishnah Berurah. We do wash fruits and vegetables on Shabbos. But the question is, why? It's against the Beferish of Mishnah. Mishnah Kuf Mem, Shulchan Aruch Sif Ches. So he makes two or three points. The first point he makes is if you're doing Lialter, so it says, I understand, you have a fruit, you have a vegetable, you have a potato that's clotted with the dirt. So the only way to get to the potato is to remove the dirt. It says, why is it any different and the heter of being Kolef, Shuman, Betzalim. And he said, that's what we spoke about, that Ramah. that that was Rama aware. That was Rama at the end of Shinuch HaFalaf, I believe. Right? That's one of the exceptions to Psoas P'toch HaOchel. The only way to get to the egg is by removing the shell. The only way to get to the onion is to remove the peel. So then that's considered to be Derech Achila. So he says the same thing here. The only way to get to the potato. Potato is always covered in soil. The only way to get to the potato is to remove the soil. Why is it any different than... so some Achram aren't so happy about that. Well, you know, at least the peel grows with it. Okay, maybe that's part of why it's mutter. You know, the soil is something just attached subsequently, not an organic part of it. Does that matter? It doesn't matter. Achipasha, so it should not matter offhand, or Moshe presents it. The whole svara of Kolef is that is Derech Achila, because that's always how you get to it. So that's one thing he says. He says, okay. He says, number one, to rinse a fruit or vegetable for immediate use, he thinks should be mutter. Number two, he says, if most people would eat it, some people eat apples as is, from the tree, or from the refrigerator, from the store, and some people want to wash the fruit off. Lieser says, but basically it's edible. Basically the apple is edible. It'll be more comfortable if you wash it off. So Moshe Feinstein thinks that even if it's not lialter, that should be mutter based on the din we're going to get to. That's based on the sugya, the upcoming sugya of sinun, of filtering liquids. Because as you saw, and maybe we'll come back to that in a moment. But that's his second suggestion. Is that, if it's not going to help for the potato with clods of dirt on it. No one eats potatoes with, most people don't eat potatoes with mud. But if it's, he's rinsing it, liyasar seis, he thinks Hashimoto even shalom lialter. And then his third sad lahakal, which the third one he writes himself, he's not 100% sure. But maybe even if it's not lialter, so you don't have the heter of khalifa, and even if it's stuff that you really would not want to eat, he thinks maybe it's absolutely heter gamer to run water over fruits and vegetables. He says maybe this whole issue with the karshinim is as the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rashi, and that's the mashmos of the Mishnah and Beitza, is that you're soaking it. I have the Olchem Psalms mixed, and I put it into water so that the dirt will rise up. So that's really Derech Breira. That's what other Acharim told in other contexts. You're gonna separate something by soaking water. Parts will float to the top, and parts will fall to the bottom. That's Derech Breira. It says if you're just rinsing it, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has an interesting raya. Once again, like the Egg Leital with the. Walnuts, where he's quoting from the Mishnah and Kuf Chavez, Moshe Feinstein says, take a look at four blad earlier, Kuf Yud Ches, in the 16th parak. The Gemara talks about washing dishes. It's an important Gemara on a number of levels. There's a lot of fascinating Agadot in Daf Kuf Yud Ches as well. A very important Agadot about Shabbos, about Suda Shabbos. Very important Agadot about Tznius. Ki'ilas, who was very careful about Tznius, and was Zohar to raise children who were very holy. On Kuf Yuches Amun Aleph, the Gemara is talking about how many Sudas you have in Shabbos. 3 Sudas, 4 Sudas. Reb Chitka held, should have 4 Sudas. We don't pass like Reb Chitka. Sometimes people will say at Shabbos party, they're having Sudas Reb Chitka. Okay. But then after the two dots, you have a ton of rabbanon. Could be chesam and aleph. Ka'aru shachov and arvitz medichem lechav ben shachris. You're allowed to wash the dishes after the Friday night suda, so that you could reset the table for Shabbos morning. And after the Shabbos morning suda, you could wash the dishes for shalosh shudas. Shachris medichem lechav ben batzarai. And if you can have 3 sudas, yeah, after lunch, you had after hashkama, you had a suda. Then you come home and you have lunch, and then you can have your sudas for b'chitka. You could wash the dishes for Tzaharayim, for Mincha L'mayla. But then after the last Seuda, that you cannot wash. Cups, you're going to use again and again throughout the day. You could keep rinsing your cups. But the plates, because the Braisa says you're not going to use the plates after you have Shal Shittas, so you can't, you have no heter to wash them. That is one of the examples of the idea of Hachana Mishabas L'Shabas versus Hachana Mishabas L'Chol. If they're not going to be using the dishes again, unless there's some other reason why I need clean dishes, I have to reckon with the concern of Hachanas. If I already have a tub of water steam from Erev Shabbos, I have to put the dishes somewhere anyways, so you have the right to put them into the tub of soapy water instead of somewhere else. Even though your kavana is that will be easier to wash them after Shabbos, that's fine. You have to put them somewhere anyways. I have the right to put them down. I don't have to hold them all Shabbos. So if I need to put them somewhere, I can choose where I want to put them. But to mamish go ahead and wash them is typically going to be a problem of Hachana. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, one second. Why aren't we worried about Borer? Washing dishes. Very nice. You have a Friday night, you're going to wash the dishes for Shabbos morning. So we discussed Borer in previous Chabura in terms of picking out the knives and the forks. Forget about that. How about picking apart the leftover peels and the leftover chicken grease from the plates? Why isn't that Borer? It's like Sholin Karshinin. And Sholin Karshinin. So Rosh Hashanah says, Beferish, you're allowed to wash things. Washing dishes is not called Borer. So it says, look, and it's not Lialter. It's not Lialter. It's you're washing them after the Friday night Suda for tomorrow morning. Unless you have a very, very, very expansive shear of the altar, I'll be partial that this is not the altar. So it's an Elamite, it's not Borer at all. So why is it not Borer at all? So Ramesh Shafainti said, look, maybe only Derech Shriya, to be Shorin, to soak it, that's an act of Borer. But just to rinse it off, that's not Borer. And I would add, and this is where we started with our whole vetch discussion, I actually look at a picture of vetches, which Wikipedia and countless, you can find them on Wikipedia, you can find them on the University of Georgia website, the lengthy discussion about vetches. Next year we're going to be moving to Machale Akum. So when we get to Simkuf Tezvav, Chalav Akum, Givinus Akum, if we go there next year, I believe University of Guelph in Canada is a very, very extensive discussion of, they have, I think, an entire department dedicated to dairy husbandry, dairy science. There's a lot to say about cheese making. It's actually very useful, a very useful website. I understand about soft cheese and hard cheese and cutting cheese and curing cheese, and then you begin to understand the sugis and kofta as well. University of Georgia has a lot to say about vetches, but you don't even need to dig so deep to notice the following. Vetches are, I wish I could have brought a long picture, but they're like a stem with a lot of little stems, a lot of little leaves. Sort of looks a little bit like wild grass. Oh, there you go, a picture of vetches, beautiful. There you go, with the purple flowers. There, thank you. Thank you, Gavi. Lots of little stems, lots of little puffs of leaves and little purple flowers. You're feeding them to your animals. If the dirt isn't on the surface, there are 1,000 cracks and crevices there. So the dirt is within. That's real Borer. As opposed to the dirt that, the soil that lies superficially on the surface of your plate, it's not integrated or intermingled in any way into the plate. Nor is the gook on the surface of your apple or your potato integrated or intermingled or interwoven in any way into your apple or your potato, just sitting there on the surface. So that seems to be the svar of Moshe Feinstein. He isn't sure, but he says he thinks that that's a third reason, a third chiluk between general peretz v'irakas versus karshinim. Let's close by talking a little bit about the last couple of seifim, the discussion of liquid, discussion of filtering liquid. So that you saw, it sort of stretches, or it's officially the topic of the first half of Perek Tolan, 20th Perek Masechet Shabbos. It's one of those very short prakim. The whole parak is five, is four blot from Kuf Lam and Zayin and Beis to Kuf Lam Aleph and Beis. And the first half of the parak is in principle from the Shnayis standpoint is all about filtering liquid. Lama says, you saw much of those first two and a half blot are get into other issues, all sorts of other issues in halacha and in agada. There's discussion about bona issues and asiyas ohel. A lot of very fascinating, very rich agadata. But the opening mishnah tells us that the machlokas hatanoim, the double machlokas hatanoim, one machlokas hatanoim in the mishnah kuflam and zayim beis is about issues of bona. Or CS Ohel in terms of setting up a filter, but the other if that's a question of can you do it on Yom Tov or not? Because even on Yom Tov there's an issur of a CS Ohel is going to be essentially identical. Bona is more or less identical in Shabbos and Yom Tov. There is one type of bona that perhaps is mutter on Yom Tov, perhaps because a CS making hard cheese is a form of bona. Got to figure out maybe that's mutter on Yom Tov. But in general, bona is the same Shabbos Yontif, but borer or merakade is different. Right? You saw the sugi in the seventh parak that has a discussion about. You saw the discussion right here in Kuf Lamed Ches. What is the Isser of Shimur? Whether it's borer or. Or Merakid, and the Machlokas Rishonim. Everyone agrees, and Reb Zera says Merakid means specifically Merakid. Machlokas Rashi and Chananel, where the Rabba or Rava is saying only Borer, Tarei Chananel understands, or Rashi says it means it could be either one. It could be Borer or Merakid, and that's the way the Rambam seems to present it. And again, flows from the Sugya and Gilman Beis. The Gemara points out, the Bavli points out that Zoreh, Borer, and Merakid are practically identical. It should be noted as an aside that Aglatal points out the Yerushalmi might not agree. And that's the Yerushalmi that actually makes it to the page, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah at the end of the Siman, quotes from an Or Zorua B'Shem Yerushalmi, not to spit into the wind. Not in the way sometimes people talk, I think spitting in the wind sometimes is an expression for doing nothing useful. It's important to avoid doing nothing useful. You should try to do useful things. But literally, rokik beruach, which again seems like a violation of Derech Eretz, and aside from the Derech Eretz issue, the very last Ramah in the Siman, quotes from Or Zorua, B'Shem Yerushalmi, here is Sif Yud Zayin, it's a violation of Zoreh. That was a violation of Zorah because the wind will break apart the spit into little droplets, even before the concern of COVID droplets. But on Shabbos, you shouldn't aerate your saliva into droplets. Again, leaving aside the Derech Eretz issue, which is also significant. But on Shabbos, it's a malacha of Zorah, or Zeruah B'Shem Yerushalmi. So the Aglital points out that's the Bavli would disagree. Why? Because there's nothing borer-like about that. You're not differentiating one min from another min. You're just taking up a larger sample of liquid and using wind to break it into droplets. But they're all the same. So that's the Bavli, Aglital points out, understood that dash, borer, and merake, they're all more or less the same. So we can maybe in different contexts we call them. That's, again, the discussion, Kuf Lamed Ches. How do you figure out, is it borer, is merake? Again, Rashi's saying, that's really both. It's borer, but it could also be merake. That's because the Bavli understood that borer, merake, and zoreh are all, being mavichin bein ochel psoles. The Yerushalmi, which says breaking a large glob of roke into smaller particles, that Zoreh understands, the Yerushalmi has a different understanding of Zoreh. That Zoreh has nothing to do with separating one type from another type, it's just using wind to separate stuff. The classic Zoreh happens to be separating different types of stuff from one another. You have a mix after dash, after you thresh, and you have the kernels have popped out of the husks, but they're all still mixed together. You throw them up in the wind, and the wind blows the psolas away, and because it's light, and the heavier kernel will fall back down. But the Yerushalmi seems to have understood that it can be Zoreh even if it's all the same thing, as long as you're separating things from one another. Okay, the Bavli, that Gittal points out, would disagree. So that's the Zoreh Bor Merakid, or certainly Bor Merakid. That's the sugya here, Kuf Lamed Ches. So you can't, the Mishnah says that we're worried, according to the Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's Mutter. Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's Mutter. That's what it sounds like. Or maybe Eliezer holds that it's Patra Avalasar, that's the Gemara discusses. Can we imagine? Or Eliezer and the Chamar arguing Al-Katzer. Maybe Eliezer holds it's Mamash Heter Gomer to filter the wine. And the Chum holds it's a Chiyuv Chatzis. Maybe, okay. The interesting Ritva, you could take a look. It works out when the Kasha applies, when the Kasha does not apply, then maybe Miyashiv Taisus is Kasha. But Al-Kalpanim, so the Mishnah says that we hold off the Chachamim that filtering is a problem. If filtering is a problem, Doraisa. Shimer Chayev Chatas, a question of which Malach is, but Shimer Chayev Chatas. Shimer Chayev Chatas. Then you come to this, the next piece of the Sugya, the next Mishnah, in Kuflavatesam Beis, and all of a sudden we're talking about filtering. Masanas Hayayim Besudarin, Bekvifa Mitzris. You could put water in the filter. You could put the wine through a piece of cloth, cheesecloth. It sounds like perhaps, or some sort of the kfifa mitzvah that you're using to filter. What's going on? So you saw the Gemara explains that it's mutter to filter if it's tzolol. It's mutter to filter if it's tzolol. If it's already clear, then you can refilter it. What's that all about? Then the Gemara goes on to have another din. That even if it's... Because initially the Ziri said, if it's not clear, if it's achur, if it has sediment in it, then you cannot filter. That's, again, the previous Mishnah, Shimer Chayvet. Then the Shimur is also according to the Chachamim. I may say, Rabbi Shimon Lila said, you could. So he could have said, Rabbi Shimon Lila holds like a blazer. We don't. No, we pass Rabbi Shimon Lila holds like a Chachamim. But Targum is Ziri, who had said that our mission is only Tzalo, said there, it's not Tzalo, clearly. It's Yain Ushmarim. But Bein Hagitos Shanu, that's Mutu, and it's Bein Hagitos. When it's between the... Literally between the wine pits. It's in the season when you're pressing the wine. And therefore what? So as you saw, Beis Yosef points out, even before you get to Beis Yosef, you see when you learn the sugya, the Rishonim, there seem to be two different understandings of Rishonim of what is this heter of Bein Hagitos. Rashi and Hagos Maimi on the one side, and the Rambam on the other side. Rashi says, that Bein Hagitos, during pressing season, all the wine is still, there is no good wine to be had. Everything is still mixed with sediment. It's still early in the season. So that's how everyone drinks it. It shows at that point of the season, everyone's drinking it. Bishmarim. The equivalent would be, for us, we don't live in an agrarian society, but the equivalent might be camp. Right? If you've been in camp recently, you know what I mean. The things you do in camp you wouldn't do otherwise. Right, and maybe if you're that type of nature guy, right? Maybe you're in the dirt a little more in camp, and you're eating stuff off the trees in camp in ways that, you know, when you get back home, things would be a little cleaner and neater and more moserdic. So, once upon a time in an agrarian society, all the grape juice, all the wine that's around during pressing season is rough and ready. It's all still mixed with the shmar. Later in the season, we'll have the polite wine that's already been filtered. And that's all there is at this point in the season. This is camp time. Everyone's drinking it with mixed with the shmar. Kol ayenos achurim shosinosa bishmarayim. So Rashi says, since during this season, everyone's drinking it mixed with sediment. That's normal. Hilkach ein kan tikun de belav hachim mishtasi. There's no... this isn't called a tikkun, because at this point in time, everyone drinks it this way. So even if you want to put it through a mishmeres, so here's this guy's little, you know, this guy Taka wants to have filtered wine even during pressing season. So he brings along his own little mishmeres and takes a barrel and pours it through on Shabbos. That's mutter because right now people are drinking it with the shmarim. So that's, and therefore what? And therefore ein kan tikkun. In other words, if this is the sort of thing, this is a big yesod. Rashi is saying there's no problem of borer, of merakeh, if it's the sort of thing that most people do eat together. Most people do. Most people don't separate out this. This isn't really considered to be psolos. You're doing it li'eser seis. If most people would drink it with this little bit that's mixed in, the Shulchan Aruch gives several examples of that, so then it's not a problem to filter it out. And it's not a problem to filter out. On the bottom of the Rambam, that goes Maimini, gives another example. He talks about almond milk. Very very avant-garde. Sif, as this is in the Parakhes, Os Yudna goes Maimini. Mashke Shalshke, the Mikan Horari, Halachal Maisa, Mashke Shalshkedim. We call that almond milk. Mashke Shalshkedim Ksushim. You crush the almonds and then soak them in water, and then you have almond milk. Mutter l'sanon derech sadim et pachas. You're allowed to filter them. Mishum borer leka kevin shiacholim l'shtosa below sinon. You could drink it as is. You decide you want to have it extra filtered. That's fine. So that seems to be aligned with the with Rashi. Rabbeinu Hananel does not give any explanation for what on Sar the Gemara for what Ben Agit, why Ben Agitos matters. The Rambam appears to give a different explanation. He says that it's you haven't yet. It's at a point where it's still so intermingled. It's so early in the season. They haven't really the sediment hasn't really filtered out anywhere from the wine yet. It's adayin lo nifrash. And therefore, it's kiguf echad. The chol hayayin, adayin lo nifrashu hashmarim, Rambam writes, enef halach yedalad, perichas halach yedalad, chol hayayin kiguf echadu. The chen achardal. Interesting. It's all considered to be one item. I look over what he means, is like the Trumas Hadeshin that we saw earlier. The Ramah quotes in Siv Dalad. That min echad, the no borer when it's min echad. I think that's what the Rambam means. At this point, what do you mean? It's kiguf echad. I'm separating it right now. I'm taking this wine. It's true, it's pressing season, but I'm taking the wine, I'm pouring it through the filter, and I'm separating the wine from the sediments. What it means, kaguf echad. So l'chora, what he means, l'chora, it's still min echad. At this point in the season, no one has yet separated out. So at this point in the season, we see this is like the big fish, the big piece of fish, and the small pieces of fish. That's true as Hadeshin. That's min echad. L'chora, that's what the Rambam means. It's worth noting that the Rambam, more than once over the course of Halach Yedalad, therefore understands that the Hemshech HaSugyon Kuf Mem Amid Aleph, about the Chardol Shalashim Erev Shabbos, he understands that whole Sugyon of Chardol, it's not a Tochein discussion or a Lush discussion, it's a Borer discussion. And because he understands that it relates to this issue of Guf Echad. And I'll just circle around to this Rashi. There is the other discussion also about using the Mashmeres. The Rambam is not aligned with the other Rishonim. But just to circle back to the Rashi's understanding, again, the two approaches to why Ben Agito Shari, whether it means it's considered to be Guf Echad, as Rambam said, which probably, I think, means Min Echad, like the Trumas Hadeshin, or as Rashi in the Hagos Maimini say, that there's no Tikkun because Balav Hachi Mishtasi. So just to close by understanding that a little bit. Number one, that idea appeared in the Tshuva of Moshe that we discussed earlier in this Chabura. He spoke about his second Sa'at to be Mater, rinsing fruits and vegetables, is if it's a case where most people would eat the apple as is anyways. So that's, I told you, that's based on the Sugya. That's this line. Kuf Lamites, Balav Hachi Mishtasi, that's Pshat in Ben Agit L'Shano. So that creates a Yisod for Moshe. That if this sort of thing that most people would just eat together, so you're designed separated, That's not borer. And why is that not borer? Well, who cares what everyone else does? Because but that's a rov bnei adam. But lamaisa, I'm doing it. Okay, most people wouldn't do this borer. That's fine. But I am doing the borer. So what does it help that most people don't do this borer? Why does that make it mutter? Let's say I'm writing a language that a dying language, an extinct language. There are only a particular dialect of Navajo, and there are a particular dialect of Cherokee. There are only 5 people in the world that still speak this language, or 5 people in the world that still write this language, and I'm writing this language. So you say, I'm allowed to write that language on Shabbos because most people don't write the language. What does that mean? Most people don't write the language, but I'm choosing to do that type of kosev. So just because most people don't do it, why does that make it... I mean, it's because klachayad? What does it mean? So Rashi, I think, is explaining. Rashi says, and we'll close with this, and this will wrap back the last chabur of the semester to the first chabur of the semester. That's the old minhag by Hadron was to... that the Shtickel Tari would say to see him, it's something you find in earlier Achronim. They'll publish their Hadron on a particular Masechet. I mean, they said the Hadron, but the Hadron means the Shtickel Tari they said to see him, which was usually tying a pilpul to tie back the end to the beginning. This is not pilpul. This is a Har Pashup Shah. Rashi says the reason why Balav Hachi Mishtasi, Bein Agitos, is Mutter, is because Ein Kan Tikun. This takes us back to our very first discussion about Malacha. When we introduced the whole concept of Malacha Shabbos, remember we spoke about the Or Zeruah, about Malacha Geruah, Rashi and the Rambam, that from the essence of Malacha is that you're changing or enhancing you're being machadish something by the item that you're operating on. That's what a Malacha is. That's why the Or Zeruah explained, based on Tosfos, that were it not for the explicit Pasuk, the Gemara quotes, in the beginning of Perek HaZorik, we would have thought that even though they carried in the Mishkan, we would have thought that carrying Mavir Meshus Roshos, Mavir Dalamas Meshus Rabbi, we would have thought that's not a Malacha. Why? Because you're not changing anything about the Chepsa. You're just moving it around. They also breathed in the Mishkan. They walked in the Mishkan. They talked in the Mishkan. That's not a Malacha because there's no item that you're changing, no item they're making a Shinui, no item they're making to which you're making a Chidush. Okay, there perhaps the Kamashmal on the pasuk, maybe that too is that you know recontextualizing an item in a new location. Maybe that itself is a shtickle chiddush in the item, but that's why it's a malacha gerua. That's the chorus where Rashi is saying here as well. Kuf lamed tes from tzadi vavam beis to kuf lamed tes in beis. That balav hachimishta says ain kan tikun. Rashi says, where is the tikun? You're not really improving when you do borer. In other words, when you do borer, so. Borer is a malacha because you're improving the ochel by removing the psoles from it. You're picking out the psoles, so now the ochel is enhanced. It used to be a mix, and now you have ochel. But if here, most people would drink this together as is, so it's the change that was made to the almond milk, the change that was made to the already clear water or wine, or the change that was made to the sediment mixed wine, but during the season when everyone is drinking it that way, it's an insignificant enhancement because it's a sort of thing. It's not just that bata daita drove me. Yeah, bata daita drove me in the sense that das rove. If most people consider this to be an edible mixture. So then removing that element that most people wouldn't mind having there is not considered to be a substantive tikkun. That's not called a malacha, and therefore it is mutter. So to filter, that's why to filter water in a context when most people would drink the water as is, but I want to filter it. That's the sugi of yayin, of mayim tzalulim, of yayin salt. Again, you gotta figure out which types of filters you're allowed to use. That might be a machlok zeram or other rishonim, but that's not a tikkun, as Rashi says. I mean, if you work with Rashi, that's not a tikkun. Therefore, l'charshim mutter with any type of filter, even with a real mashmeres, because that's not really a malacha of meshamer or of borer whatsoever. Abasi Ashkayach. It's worth just taking a moment now to just consider where we have been. Baruch Hashem, over the course of the semester, we had a chance to really to dig deep into Zoreya. And to dig deep into, and we had a chance to see some of the key dinim of Kotzer also, and to dig deep into Tochein, and into Lush, and into borer together with its connected malachas of zore and merake. And we had a chance, as we had a chance to see some of kozi, we also had a chance to see some of dash, which is to make a count. Zorea, kozer, dash, borer, merake, zore, tochen, and lash. That's eight malachas. In which next semester we're going to move on to Ofa. Baruch Hashem, Bekiy Yisrael has been covering plenty of the non-Sidur Depas malachas. We're going to spend the next couple of days on Chazara. Belineder Bechina will be available for Borer.